Thank you very much, Selena. And now I'd like to introduce Reverend J. Michael Akins, the organization who actually began the Pentacle Quest was the Military Pagan Network. And Michael Akins is the current executive running the Military Pagan Network. But the previous executive is also here on site, John Machate. And now I will introduce Michael. Operating as a spiritual guide and facilitator to the local pagan community, Reverend Akins is a high priest of the Coven of the Earthly Oak Spirit and an associate priest for the Circle of the Emerald Phoenix in Woodbridge, Virginia. He is associated with the Circle of the Crystal Grove, a CUPS chapter of the Bull Run Universalist Unitarian Church. He also serves as a point of contact, the Army Service Advisor and Advocacy Affairs Manager, and most recently as the Executive Director for the Military Pagan Network. This service to the military pagan community is a direct follow-on to his 9 years as a chaplain assistant supervisor in the United States Army, from which he retired in 1999 as a Master Sergeant E-8. This retirement culminated a distinguished service of more than 24 years, with combat support tours in Vietnam twice and Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. During his military career, Master Sergeant Akins received numerous decorations and ribbons, the highest being a Bronze Star Medal and Meritorious Service Medal, along with commendation medals from both the U.S. Army and the Commonwealth of Virginia. Welcome, please, Reverend J. Michael Akins.
That's all right.
Are you back on?
Ah, okay.
Don't have to use drill sergeant voice. 231 years ago, there was a campaign against a guy named George. Yeah. He didn't like it then, he doesn't like it today, but we're still here and we're celebrating. Military Pagan Network, grassroots small organization that started the Pentacle Quest and eventually toward the chaplaincy when John Machate wrote a simple letter, email really, to the VA asking, what does it take to have a pentacle added to the list of emblems? And they didn't give him a response. I guess nobody had the guts to say it's going to take you 10 years in a lawsuit. But we gave him the 10 years, and we gave him the lawsuit. Military Pagan Network supports all of those who are active duty, veterans, retired, of all the services wherever they are in the world. When you're an individual, the one and only pagan in a battalion of over 1,000 people, you can't always come up front to maintain a high profile. The Military Pagan Network has been there since 1992, being the voice in the background for those who had no voice. Today, we have a voice. We have a voice on the square in front of the most powerful house in the nation, the most powerful house in the world, some say. So no longer does a soldier, sailor, airman have to hide what he believes, although he's willing. He takes an oath to support the Constitution of the United States of America, even unto the last ultimate sacrifice. And until this year, until a few months ago, that sacrifice, that belief that carried such an individual outside of himself could not have been acknowledged. But individuals of the Military Pagan Network were in every organization that was signed up on those lawsuits and some of the actions that didn't even get to the suit. Circle Sanctuary, Sacred Well Congregation, Isis Invicta, Shankar Guild, Corellian, Covenant of the Goddess, and a whole lot more that I can't remember, or their involvement was small enough they don't want to be mentioned. The Military Pagan Network today has contacts in every theater in which our armed forces are operating. On our ships at sea, there are pagan services. In the sands of Iraq, in the hills of Afghanistan, there are pagan services. And somewhere in there is a military pagan. And we capitalize it. They are military first. Then they're pagans.
I think we lost them again. Back to your turn.
That's all right, yeah. Okay. Enjoy the pool, right? Too much hot air. Too much hot air. MPN is currently engaged. We've got a pinnacle. We're awaiting new applicants now for additional symbols. Because the law has now been passed. The dam has been broken. Now all we wait is those to honor with the hammer, the awen, the triskel, all of those symbols that have been forgotten but remembered beyond ages. Now we're engaged in a quest for a chaplain. Why do we need a chaplain, a pagan chaplain, in the military? Because there are pagans in the military. Even though some people don't believe that witchcraft is a religion, don't tell him, but we're still here, as we are. When our young soldier or sailor is faced with a question of life or death, when a young soldier comes back from patrol, his first patrol, and they took casualties, and he wants to ask somebody, why? Who? What? Right now there is nobody there to answer his questions. Everybody else, the majority of them, said, go tell it to the chaplain. If you got a problem with your commander, go tell it to the chaplain. If you got a problem at home, go tell it to the chaplain. Our pagan soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines can't go tell the chaplain. The First Amendment of the Constitution says that we should have equal rights. The eighth part of the Charter of the Armed Forces Chaplains Board says the duty of a chaplain is to support the spiritual needs of those service members appointed to them. Armed Forces Chaplains Board, you're missing the boat because we have servicemen out here who cannot go. I was recently in conversation with a very prominent chaplain of the United States Army who uses on his email, he uses a saying, I don't know where he got it, I don't think he's original enough to put it up himself, but it said, every soldier is a soul. Every soul needs a chaplain. Damn straight, chaplain, every soul needs a chaplain. After 3 years in warfield, I can tell you there may be one or two atheists in those foxholes, but they're damn sure believing in something. If not outside, they're believing in something. It may be simply that oath they took when they came in, or it may be something to do with the red, white, and blue that flies over the headquarters. Or it may be nothing more than the buddy in the bunk next to them. But they believe in something. During Desert Storm, when we had chaplain services, we had to go take over the mess tent because we couldn't fit in anybody else's. That was the biggest tent on the battalion. And the day after the 100 hours of Desert Storm, there was the chaplain and me, and we were reciting back and forth to each other. when the need is there, people call on him. But for pagans, for the Wiccan, for the Norse, for the Egyptians, there is no chaplain to call on. Nope. All right. That's all right. Patience and dedication. That's how we got a pinnacle, and that's how we get through today. In addition to the actual chaplain, and there are so few pagans, that by the formulas that the military uses, we'll be lucky to get one. Of course, if they have more courage in the pagan ranks, there may be a few more to get up there. But they'll go by numbers at first. But at least then, we can put it this way. The pagan chaplain will say, how is he going to minister to a bunch of Abrahamic faith? It's a whole lot easier to minister to a God that you believe in and acknowledge at least exists by whatever name than for the other man who comes up and says, you don't have a God. I mean, goddess. He's on my list. So yours is not really right. So you're fighting and you're 13,000 miles away from home, and the man who's supposed to be taking care of your innermost being and says, your beliefs are not right. Okay, we need a chaplain. Because in addition to that, a chaplain requires an endorsing authority. There's a mysterious way in which the government has finally figured out how to keep church and state separate. The government, Armed Forces Chaplains Board, the chaplaincies of the Army, Navy, Air Force, they're the government, they're the state. But each individual faith organization puts together a small group that they grant the power to say, this individual follows our tenets and can speak our beliefs properly. And we believe he meets the qualifications to be a military officer. That organization, that individual entity is an endorsing authority. They're all civilians. There's not supposed to be a military one in them. That is church, chaplaincy, state. When the endorsing authority presents an individual who is qualified to be both a minister and a soldier, they put them together and give them that rare position of a chaplain. A minister who goes into battle, into war, knowingly, because that's where his people are. Too many ministers today, though, have the idea that these people in front of them is their captive audience to preach to them. But remember a little bit ago I said about the charter of the Armed Forces Chaplains Board? It is the chaplain's duty to minister to the spiritual needs of the service members appointed unto them. There's nothing in there about whether they have an approved faith. There's nothing in there about whether they're on the list of 39. It says they are to minister to those appointed under them. I'll step back for just a second for an anecdote from Desert Storm. I worked with a chaplain who's a Catholic priest. He had a lot of privileges because there are very few Catholic priests who are willing to come in the military. Well, the church won't let go of them. Remember that thing about church, state? The church doesn't want to lose their priests to the military. But this chaplain, he was in charge of an encampment of MPs who were in charge of a POW camp. during Desert Storm, who were the POWs? Oh, yeah, Iraqis. Yeah, the same guys we're helping out right now. But he found out that these POWs, majority of whom were Muslim, not all, the majority, did not have anyone to take care of their needs. Well, as a Roman Catholic, he certainly was in no condition to take care of their needs directly. So this Roman Catholic chaplain goes downtown to the local mosques and finds an imam that could pass an American security test in a combat theater and who is willing to go outside of his town. So this Roman Catholic chaplain ministered to the needs of those appointed under him by getting an imam to come in and do services and counseling for the POWs of Muslim. That's a chaplain. He may not be able to do it himself, but he will find whomever and whatever it takes so that those soldiers, sailors, and airmen appointed under him have someone. We don't have them yet. If we get one more time. So back to this endorsing authority, there's another thing they can do besides chaplains. We have enlisted people, sometimes officers, but we have people. That the spirit of whatever god or goddess they follow moves them to step forth and say, I will lead, I will counsel, I will hold your hand. And they want to start a spiritual faith group within their battalion, the company, the fire base that they're at. And under current regulations by both the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy, they're supposed to get an endorsing authority. Oh, yeah, we don't have one of them yet. They're supposed to get an endorsing authority to endorse this individual and say, yes, he has been trained in, and he is a member in good standing of faith group. And yes, we trust him to lead these people in faith and in spirit. Just by distinguished faith group leaders or lay leaders alone, the capability of a pagan ministry as it exists today will be on every fire base, most of the ships, every squadron, and every brigade headquarters in the United States military. Period. Okay. We'll give my voice a rest and bring up the next counterpoint.
Thank you.